Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, people? This is Lee for Lee and Keys. We're back at you. First time in probably about 2.5 weeks. I want to send a shout out to my man Rod for holding it down for me, you know, while I was in the process of moving. And my man Keys for holding it down, you know, but I'm back now. Move is complete, you know, house is shoulder for shoulder coming together. And I appreciate you guys still supporting us. Tonight is a big night in UFC. So we have a big fight tonight. We have two title fights tonight. We have Robert Bobby Knuckles Whitaker taking on Yoel Romero, who couldn't make weight. So Romero is just fighting for a check tonight because he can't be a champ if he wins. And then we have RDA fighting Colby Big Mouth Covington, who I can't stand. A lot of people already know I can't stand him from previous shows if you've been keeping up with us. The guy just a loud mouth. He's basically talked his way into a situation he don't deserve. And the UFC gave it to him. And it kind of sucks, but that's where we at. I'm waiting on my man Keys to jump on. Keys, what's up, bro? But I think my man Keys had a little bit of technical difficulty, so I'm going to keep on talking for a minute. Shout out to the Golden State Warriors for winning their third championship in 4 years. I knew it wouldn't be a close series. I said in the previous show that I would have preferred to see Boston versus Golden State and Cleveland versus Golden State. So, it turned out the way I thought. I thought LeBron would at least get one game, but they got swept last night. Sports World. Oh, my bad. My bad, Kings. I thought you could just hit your microphone and you would be in the show, but connected with my man Keys right now. My bad, audience. That was my fault. Thought we was having some technical difficulties, and the technical difficulties was done by me. That's water. Something ain't working right today. My man Keys, can you hear me? This is no. Yo, what's up, Keys? My bad, bro. I thought you was going to put this up here.
Nah, I'm not even on my computer because I figured you was hosting, so I didn't even go on the computer.
Oh, my bad, dog.
Yeah, all of a sudden I just heard a voice say unmuted. I don't know how that happened. Where that came. Ooh,
yeah, I just had
talking,
to hit the red microphone on my end. So what's going on, man?
Cool.
How you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm chilling, bro. Enjoying the weather.
Me too, man. I'm actually sitting outside on my back porch right now. I was in the house with my grandkids, but they wouldn't be quiet so I can do this show. So I'm actually sitting outside on the back porch enjoying
nice.
The Colorado weather. I think it's like 90. I think it's about 95 today. So,
jeez.
Yeah, man, life is good.
Yeah, it's been like between 70s and 80s. Well, at least this week. I mean, we had a couple 60-degree days, but it's been pretty warm lately. We're still not into, like, a deep summer on this side of the world yet. I mean, we had some really hot days. Some days, I mean, it's nice out, but it's not like a scorch yet. I mean, there's been a couple really hot days, but that's really nothing too crazy.
See, I could deal with 70 and 80. This is when it started getting up in the, like, the 90s and the 100s, man, it's like unbearable where you don't even want to leave your house. You know, that's one thing about summer that I never really liked is the heat. But at the same time, I hate the winter because it's so cold. But, you know, man, it's been a while since we talked. I got to ask you this. What happened to your Celtics, bro?
Man, I kind of let myself forget about that. Yeah, I was so upset with the Game 7. I turned the TV off and just straight walked out the room. I didn't even say a word. I just went to bed. I was so disgusted with the way they played. Not even the
Me
whole
too.
Game. I thought the first half they did fine, but the second half they just was a meltdown. The second half was just disgusting Celtics basketball. I don't even know what team that was that I was watching.
Yeah, man, I was very let down too, because I thought them having Game 7 at home, you know, being that they was a young team, I didn't think that they could go on the road and win the Game 7. But I thought they would have a better chance of winning the Game 7 at home. And then the way they played in the first half, you know, I mean, I knew LeBron would come out and do his thing in the first quarter and, you know, in the first half. But Tatum basically played LeBron to a stalemate in the first half. But then in the second half, it was just like the shot selection and I think some coaching and I think some players, just the moment was just too big for them. I think Rozier trying to dunk on LeBron was a bad idea. I think he should have tried to do a reverse layup on the weak side. And then when they got the steal, when they was down by five, Rozier had hit a three all game. And then he put up two threes. And then it seemed like they froze out Tatum. It was like Tatum was the best thing that they had going on, and it seemed like they froze him out. So, but once again, they're a young team. They got Hayward coming back. They got Kyrie coming back next year. They got a couple draft picks. So they're going to be a better team next year. I think the one thing we have to keep our eye on is what happens with Marcus Smart. Do they bring him back? You know, does somebody sign him to a deal that Boston can't match or that Boston doesn't match? And also, Rozier turned himself into a nice little player this year, so they might feel some trade offers for Rozier. But I think they'll be better next year with Kyrie and Gordon coming back. And I think Philly will be better next year. I think, you know, I got to ask you this because it's been floating around that Boston might try to pursue LeBron. What you think about that?
I don't know, because I know if they did, then I mean, if he, I don't even care. Like, a lot of people, like, you know, I don't know how many, but I think most people that I talk to that out here, you know, that are Celtics fans and they're from Boston, they, like, we're rooting for the Golden State in this series. And I said when they lost Game 7, Houston lost Game 7, I was right off the bat. Like, after when I seen Houston lost, I was like, all right, I ain't watching a single game. And best believe, I didn't watch a single game of the NBA. I couldn't give a damn about that thing, and I still don't care. But the thing about it that really gets me is I was sitting in the barbershop the other day, and they were talking about how it's so crazy how people on the East Coast still root against LeBron, and they'd rather root for Golden State against LeBron, and it's just so bizarre. And I agree. It's like, why are you rooting for the Monstars over here? Like, that's the Monstars.
The Monstars.
It is, bro. and they choose to, like, their hatred for LeBron because he has beaten Boston and he's had big moments beating Boston over the years. Their hatred for LeBron makes them root for Golden State. And I just feel like, I don't know, that's just crazy to me. But anyways, I do think that if – I don't care what happens. If he wants to come, so be it. Because I think he knows that his best – after just getting swept, there's not much for him to – unless Cleveland can make some big trade moves and get somebody else over there to help him out. I don't see. I mean, I get for his legacy that he doesn't want to leave Cleveland again. So maybe he just stays. But if he was, if he had to get traded, I think he knows that his best chance at beating the Warriors would either be to go to the Houston Rockets or to go to the Celtics. If he's going to stay in the East, is easily the Celtics is his best chance, and that's already an unbelievable team. But, you know, the Celtics would have to clear a lot of cap space to be able to sign LeBron. They'd have to shift that team around and really send a good handful of guys out and some draft picks. We'd have to really load up everything and to send to Cleveland if we wanted to get him.
Yeah.
I think it would just be ironic.
It
would just be ironic to see LeBron and Kyrie, if they even kept Kyrie in such a trade and they were to play again, it would just be ironic to see them having met up again on the court with different jerseys. It would just be so – that would be even more bizarre than, you know, that would just be so crazy to see that on a better team.
Yeah, because I think Kyrie – you know, that was one of the reasons why he wanted to leave Cleveland was because, you know, he got tired of playing in the shadow of LeBron. And plus, I think it was reported that he got tired of the LeBron drama. You know, everything always centered around LeBron. And then this year it was whether or not LeBron was going to go or stay. So that's why Kyrie wanted out. And I think if Boston was to entertain the idea of bringing LeBron there, I think Kyrie would want out again. Because I just don't think he wants to play with LeBron or the circus that LeBron brings. I think if I'm Boston, I stay in Pat. I try to bring Smart back and see what I got with them young guys, man. Because they have one of the youngest teams in the league, and with Hayward and Kyrie being hurt, them guys got to play and they got to see what they had. So I would just ride it out and see what we could do next year. You clinched the third seed without your two best players. Nah, they clinched the second seed, didn't they? Yeah, they was the second seed. Philly was the third,
yeah.
And Cleveland was fourth. Yeah.
Yeah, the Raptors got the number one seed.
Yeah, and they got swept in the second round by Cleveland.
Yeah,
hey man, big fight night tonight, man. I'm so amped up about tonight, dog. I am amped up. I'm ready.
That, you know, I want to say right now is that I actually have. I want to say off the top of my head, eight. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, not seven, but I think eight. I'm in eight contests on DraftKings for tonight's card. Man, I went all
my
in
man.
Tonight. All in tonight. I got head-to-head contests, and I'm in a couple, you know, not tournament style, but like, you know, 1,000 entry type contests.
Yeah, I got you.
And
yeah, I like those.
A lot of different lineups.
I do
a lot of
those fantasy.
And you know what? And you know what too? It's cool because like I found out today I can host private contests and create, you know, a game. Say I had known like 10 people that wanted, and I knew them personally. I could just have a contest with 10 people. But you know, what I ended up actually doing was I just did a. I actually found out how to add friends, so I added, you know, a family relative and one of my close friends, and I got a head-to-head going with both of them, plus, you know, six other contests, you know, bigger contests with people I don't know.
Yeah, man. That's one thing I really like about DraftKings is that you have so many options so many options of playing that, you know, like the one, I think, the 50-50, and you put in, I think I play, like, you put in $2 and, you know, have the top 50 people win, you know, they get their money back or they double up or something like that. You had ones that, like me and my friends, we do doing fantasy football. Well, you know, we have our own room where, you know, every week we try to get at least 10 guys to play, like, five
hours,
like that.
Bro, There's a lot of sounds coming into your mic. Is it windy over there?
Oh, I'm sorry,
because
I'm sitting outside. No,
yeah,
that
you
was
can
my,
hear
that
it.
Was the
you
wind.
Can hear
I'm sitting
it
outside. I'm sorry.
No, it's not about me. It's just the listeners are probably hearing a tornado sound right now.
No, there are no tornadoes, and they're not playing Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah, beware of tornadoes. We went over that.
Yeah, I'm about to go downstairs in the basement.
So, what were you just saying? Go ahead.
Oh, I was asking you about, I was about to ask you, you said, we got a stacked card tonight. So I was going to ask you, you know, last time we talked about the UFC, you know, we did some different stuff. So I wanted to ask you, so which fight are you looking at to be the sleeper fight of the night?
You know, I think your boy Ricardo Lamas and Rashad Bektik is actually going to be a really good fight. And I don't know if this will be like a fight of the night, but I am intrigued by Rashad Evans and I think his name is Anthony Smith. I'm pretty intrigued by that. I want to see how Rashad Evans is going to do. Because he hasn't been in the win column in a couple of years now. And I'm just looking to see what he's going to come out with.
Yeah, I think my sleeper fight of the night. Yeah, actually, man, you make a good point about Rashad, man. Rashad kind of like has fallen off, man.
Yeah.
He used to be the champ, but then he just like fell off, man. It's like he can't. Well, his last win was against Tito Ortiz, I think. His last big win was against Tito Ortiz.
I mean, they said he hasn't won since. They said the other day he hasn't had a win since 2013.
Man, that's not good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's not good.
On this side, I'm just wondering because when I was younger, he was one of the guys that got me into UFC. Like that was one of the first guys that I was like, wow, like you know, whoever's your guy coming up. He ain't messing with Rashad Evans, though. Like, that was one of the ones. It's like, Chuck Liddell. I was like, damn. Like, he ain't messing with Chuck Liddell, though. Like, he ain't seeing Rashad Evans, though. At the same time, you know, he ain't seeing Anderson Silva, though. Like, middleweight had everybody.
Yeah.
Middleweight and light heavyweight had pretty much everybody who was anybody. And he was a middleweight champ. Rashad Evans was a champion. And now he can't even get a win.
He was light heavyweight. He was light heavyweight.
Oh, he was light heavyweight?
205. All right. Yep.
Yeah,
man. Actually, my sleeper fight of the night is gonna be I'm going with the Clay Guida Charles Oliveira fight, man. Cause both them guys can push the pace, and you know Clay Guida always in good fights, man. And he brings that energy, and a lot of guys can't keep up with his energy. So I'm going with Clay Guida and Charles Oliveira, man. I think that fight is going to be good. And then if I had a second one, I want to see Benavidez versus Sergio Pettis because Benavidez has been out with an injury. And, you know, Pettis is one of the – he's up and coming trying to get from under his brother's shadow. And I think maybe the winner will be in line for a title shot, even though I don't want to see Benavidez versus Demetrius Johnson 3. Because I just don't see Benavidez beating them.
It's
so
almost not
they
even,
already got
it's
some
hudo. No, go
yeah,
ahead.
Go ahead. Nah, because you know they got Demetrius versus Cejudo 2 lined up already, right?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's for UFC 227. So, yeah, they got Demetrius slated to fight Cejudo again. So whenever you start getting to Demetrius versus somebody, number 2 and 3, me as a fan, I don't know.
Man, I feel like at this point, your boy is just fighting for a check. Like, he don't even care about the belt. Like, he knows he's not going to lose. He's just going out there to make some money and perform and then have fun. Like, it doesn't even – who's going to beat him? Like, it's not even –
I don't even know, man. I mean, because he done beat everybody. He done beat everybody.
Yeah,
no,
I get it, but that's what I'm saying. You think he's hungry still? Like, does he even care, like, about the belt? I mean, he's beaten everybody twice, three times. Why does he need to fight Sergio?
Yeah,
that's the thing with this fight is that. No, go ahead. What did you say?
I just think Demetrius, man, he likes competition. And plus, you know, he's coming off of surgery, too, to his shoulder. So I think Demetrius likes competition, man. And the only competition that he really going to have is fighting the dudes from 135. And I don't see him trying to go up to 135 again. So I see maybe a couple of guys trying to fight him at 130, you know, maybe Marlon Moraes, maybe Jimmy Rivera, maybe we can see the TJ Dillashaw versus Demetrius Johnson fight. You know, those are just three names I'm throwing out that may fight him at 130 at a catchweight. But the 125, on the person he ain't beat yet, is Sergio Pettis. And Sergio Pettis has to get past Benavidez, which I think is going to be a tough task for him.
Yeah, I think business-wise, Sergio winning would be more ideal for the UFC because they want to see a new face. Just like with the Ray Borg fight, you at least had somebody who you never really knew what his potential was. And I guess that's a similar thing. And what's it called? But at the same time, I'll be honest with you. On all my DraftKings lineups, there is not one where I pick Sergio Pettis to win because I don't think that he'll actually win. Business-wise,
I
get it why it would be good. I don't think he wins because Benavidez hasn't fought in a while, which I think is actually going to – I think we're going to be surprised by how good he looks tonight, and he might just – win by unanimous decision or something like that. I think that's what I see happening, a unanimous decision for Benavidez.
Yeah, man, I think Benavidez, I think he's coming off a torn ACL or something like that. So, and before he got hurt, he was still the number one contender in 125, and he came back, and he's still the number one contender. I just don't think Sergio... I just don't think Sergio has enough experience yet to beat a guy like Benavidez.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Speaking of, you mentioned Marlon. And how about Marlon? He just knocked out Jimmy Rivera. He knocked out Jimmy Rivera
shocker.
In, like, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, shocker.
That was
I couldn't believe it.
Man, that was the shortest fight since – I can't remember. I mean, yeah, you had the Ngannou and Overeem fight was pretty short, but I think that was even, like, a minute and change. This wasn't as fast. This was faster.
I think he beat Rivera in, like, 45 seconds or something. But
that dude is dangerous.
Man,
he is so dangerous.
Moraes is a problem, man. He a problem.
I'm kind of scared, like at this point for whoever wins, you know, of TJ and Cody. Like, I'm kind of scared for the winner of that to have to fight him.
Actually, I think I would. Yeah, I think Marlon deserves a title shot, but I still want to see the Jimmy Rivera versus Dominique Cruz fight. So I think that fight still might happen later on this year, or if Dominique ever stay healthy. But let's transition to tonight's fight, man. Let's talk about the co-main event. We got RDA versus Colby Covington, man. What you think about that?
So this one also is, out of all my lineups in DraftKings, I only have, I think, one lineup, possibly two lineups, where I picked Dos Anjos, because the more that I look into it, I think it's a closer fight than it appears. And RDA is really not that big of a guy. Colby Covington's kind of a big welterweight, and he does have wrestling. I mean, RDA, he can. I mean, his ground game is okay, but I think Covington, as much as we might hate to admit, has a lot bigger of a chance to pull it off than a lot of people are making it seem. His striking isn't as good as Dos Anjos, I don't think, at all. His striking is nowhere near Dos Anjos, or his boxing, whatever you want to call it. But he does have the wrestling, which I think if he can get the fight to the ground, we might, you know, we might see Colby. I mean, I bet on him because he's an underdog, and I think there's going to be a couple handful of underdog wins, big underdog wins tonight. You know, also Megan Anderson. I picked Megan Anderson on all my lineups. I have complete faith in her beating what's her name. I'm just sick of seeing Holly Holm fight. I'm so tired of seeing her fight. So I hope Megan Anderson pulls it off in her UFC debut. That would be huge. And she's an underdog too. So I'm telling you, man, I'm all for the underdog tonight.
I think for me, I want RDA to win because I still don't think Colby Covington deserves this opportunity. And I definitely don't think they should be fighting for an interim belt. But I have kicked that horse enough. And I think it's disrespectful to Terrence T-Wood that they even have an interim belt when the man said he could fight this summer. So there was no reason to have an interim belt. So I'm going with RDA to win against Colby Covington. And I'm looking forward to seeing Megan Anderson fight. I'd have heard all the hype, you know, I'd have read all the hype, you know, on Twitter and on UFC.com and stuff like that, because she kept politicking the fight sideboard, and then when the UFC made the fight, she mysteriously got injured. So I want to see her. I want to see her in action, but I think Holly Holm beats her tonight because Holly Holm is used to the bright lights of UFC, whereas Megan Anderson isn't. If Megan wins, I wouldn't be mad, because I think she'll get the next shot against Cyborg. So I got Holly Holm, and I got RDA winning tonight. And I try to agree with you about the Colby Covington fight being closer than people think, only because he can wrestle. I mean his hands are okay, but RDA has been there, done that, fought a lot of top guys, and Colby has it. So I think the experience of being in there with top guys will help RDA, as long as he don't get caught. As long as he don't get caught or clipped by something he doesn't see coming, I see him winning this fight tonight.
Yeah, they're fighting for the boo-boo belt.
Yeah. the AOL belt. The AOL, we ain't going to get him a Google belt. We're going to get him an AOL belt.
Nah, I said the boo-boo belt.
Yeah, the boo-boo belt, yeah. Ugh. Man, don't even get me started, man. I mean, I'm still pissed off about that, man. Man, all right, we're just going to stick to this card. Another fight a lot of people are sleeping on is your guy fighting tonight. Blades fighting Overeem tonight. What you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Nah, Blades is going to take this one easy. I think Overeem is done in his career. I don't think he has much left for him to do. I mean, his last win, I mean, he beat Mark Hunt, but, like, Mike Hunt's fought all the – he's Mike Hunt fights every dangerous striker. I mean, dude, and he still has a good chin. He can still stand and bang with pretty much anybody. And speaking of which, we're going to see a good one of those when Derek Lewis fights Ngannou, you know, in a month or so. But so without getting to that is, yeah, I just think Overeem, he doesn't stand a chance against these new guys coming up, you know, the new heavyweights that are going to take over the division, the borderline talentless heavyweight division. Curtis Blaydes is going to take him out. His wrestling is going to be too much. And he might even, who knows? I mean, I don't think he really knocks guys out like that, but I mean, Overeem's chin is, he has a really weak chin, especially after being, you know, knocked out by Ngannou his last fight. I think he's a battered soldier. He's going to be a battered soldier.
You mean almost decapitated by Ngannou? You mean
almost
decapitated by Ngannou?
Yes, his head almost flew into the stands.
Oh, my
his
God.
Head
that knockout was sick.
Yes.
Actually, man, I'm going with Blaze, too, man. I think
There's no doubt in my mind. Blaze is going to beat him with the wrestling.
He might even knock him out
because Overeem's chin is too weak these days, and he could get knocked out by anybody, just like Arlovsky, who's going to get knocked out as well.
Yeah, he's fighting that Tanafasa guy.
Yeah, he's fighting Tuivasa.
I didn't know which way I was going with that one. But I do like the new blood, though. So I think I'm going to go with the same guy. I think Arlovsky loses tonight also. I think Arlovsky and Overeem both lose tonight to up-and-coming guys. I think, you know, my theme for 2018 has been new blood. I'm all about new blood. So the UFC can start promoting new guys and we can see new stars. So, I'm liking Blaze and Tavassi to beat the veterans tonight. Another fight that I'm looking forward to seeing is another female fight, Gedalia versus Esparza. This fight, they tried to make this fight two times in the past and think Esparza got hurt and then Gedalia got hurt. So now they finally got them in this fight. I'm rolling with Gedalia. I think she's a little hungry right now. And, you know, I think she really wants to fight for the belt. I'm going with Gedalia in a close fight. I think Esparza gives her everything that she wants and more, but I think Gedalia edges her out in the third round.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget how good Claudia is. I mean, she had two good, really good fights with Joanna before she fought Jessica Andrade after that and lost pretty clearly. And then Jessica got the decision. I think people forget how dangerous Claudia is, how talented she is, you know, just by that one bad performance. And Esparza really hasn't beaten any – you know, it hasn't beaten any big talent for me to say that, okay, she just beat Cynthia Calvillo in her last fight, but Calvillo's an up-and-comer too. That's not a talent like Claudia's. She hasn't been in championship fights. She hasn't been in the deep rounds. And she's not, I think Claudia's going to have a great performance tonight too. Shout out to Claudia. She's so beautiful. That's another reason why I can't wait to see her out there.
Yeah, I'm with you, Keys, man. I think but you know, man, one thing about Esparza, though, is every time I think she's not going to do well, she shocks me. She shocks me and does outstanding. So, but I'm still going with Bedelia. And I think Esparza is going to get her a good fight. And I think the winner of this fight will probably fight Thug Rose. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What do you think about the so one thing that people are talking about right now is how they, because Overeem and Curtis Blaydes was originally on the main card, and they swapped out Overeem and Curtis Blaydes fight to the prelims so they could put CM Punk versus Mike Jackson on the main card. And those guys are 0-1 for their MMA records. Neither of the guys have a win, and they're on the main card. And a lot of people have been critical about that. I mean, but I feel like at the same time, it's kind of easy to see why that's a business move. That's not like a that's not trying to show disrespect. I think it's just, I mean, of course Dana want to sell tickets, so you put CM Punk in the main card, why not? I mean, it's in Chicago. Isn't he from out there too?
Yeah, he's from Chicago.
Yeah, so I think that's an obvious business move. I mean, the event sold out, you know, so they did something right. What do you think about it?
Man, my whole thing with the CM Punk Mark Jackson fight is, all right, you got two guys that's 0-1. What have they done to deserve to be on the main card? Absolutely nothing. So, but Dana White, being the businessman he is, UFC 225 in Chicago, of course he's going to put CM Punk on the main card because that's going to get butts and seats, rather, because people are going to watch it on pay-per-view anyway, but it gets butts and seats so people can come out and support CM Punk. My thing with CM Punk is if he loses, he'll be back in wrestling in about 3 weeks. He'll be back in wrestling in 3 weeks. He'll probably wrestle at the Cody Rhodes Young Buck show that's called All In. He'll probably be on that card fighting, wrestling somebody. So I think this is a make-or-break match for him. Bennett, you know, we really haven't seen him train. So has he gotten better? We don't know. Has he gotten worse? We don't know. So tonight, all eyes are going to be on him, man. Oh, man, my mind wants to pick him to win. But I think I'm going to go with Jackson, bro.
I don't even know why I'm laughing. But that was funny. The way you said it is epic.
Yeah, man. I think I'm going with Jackson to beat CM Punk tonight. Jackson is going to have to finish him because there's no way the judges would let Jackson win a decision in Chicago. So unless it's a thorough butt whooping, that's the only way Jackson can win. But I'm going with Jackson to beat CM Punk and run CM Punk back to wrestling.
I guess the Mike Jackson character has a bit of kickboxing experience and boxing experience, edge over both of those to edge over CM Punk as far as experience goes. I mean, they both have only one loss in the UFC, but I guess, you know, the Mike Jackson guy does have more, if you want to say, more overall of a MMA background than CM Punk does. So I could understand why people would give Jackson the edge in this fight.
Yeah, I got Jackson.
Yeah, go ahead.
What weight class are they in?
I think that's welterweight.
Okay.
170. Yeah, because I know Mickey Gall is a welterweight, and he beat both of those guys. So that kind of narrows that down.
All right. Yeah, so I got Jackson winning, man. As much as I would love to see CM Punk have some success in the UFC, I just think it's hard to come out of wrestling as a little guy and do something in the UFC. At least being a big guy, you can come in and use your power, use your strength, you know, whatever, to be in the UFC, you know, to get a win. But being a little guy, you do have to have certain skills, and I just don't see him possessing those skills. And I'm giving Jackson a nod. I mean, CM Punk, see you in wrestling, man.
Yeah, I guess he has. Yeah, you know, I'm not even gonna. Whatever. Yeah, if he loses, then it is what it is. I wanted to ask you about this before I forget. Is speaking of weight.
Go ahead.
You know, we. Speaking of weight, we can't imagine either one of those guys. Like when you asked what weight class they were in, that just like this sparked this thought in my mind is like, damn, when guys lose too many fights in a division, sometimes they'll go down weight, kind of like Michael Johnson when he, you know, how he just went down to featherweight, or sometimes guys will go lose, you know, a couple fights in their division and move up in weight instead because they're more true to a higher, they're more true heavyweight, kind of like Robert Whittaker when he, you know, he kind of how he got knocked out by Wonderboy, you know, and then he moved up to middleweight, and now he's having a lot more success at middleweight. You know, he's got like a 6 straight win streak, 7 win streak, maybe 8 win streak, something. He's beaten a lot of guys at middleweight since he's been there. So, but the question that I'm following up with is your boy, well, really my boy, but this your boy too, Yoel Romero. Your boy done missed weight. The first time he missed weight was by 1 pound. He weighed 186, and they said he had 2 hours, 1 pound. Then when he weighed in again, I don't know if it was 0.1 or 0.2 of a pound that he was overweight.
0.2.
So he was 185.2 pounds?
Yep.
And that makes it not a title fight.
Yep. Because you have to be right at 185. I don't like that rule. I think if you're allowed to fight at 186 during a regular fight, then why can't you fight at 186 during a title fight? I just don't like that rule because if that's the case, everybody should fight on weight. It shouldn't be no you get a pound, you know, a pound give or take. If it's 185, fight at 185. I don't like this, and I don't like that the commission actually stop him from losing weight after because he's supposed to have 2 hours to lose the weight, and then they only gave him an hour to lose the weight. So I don't like that. The guy lost 27 pounds since he landed. I want to say in Chicago, what, Sunday or Monday? So he's been cutting the weight, but you know he was overweight against Lou Rockhold, man. So this is becoming a pattern with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's missed weight back-to-back, and I said the same thing right away. It's like, well, maybe this guy should just move up to light heavyweight if he's having so much trouble making weight. And, I mean, at the same time, I do think it is kind of sad that, you know, 0.2 of a pound, like you said, makes it a non-title fight when you can basically contend for the belt with being a pound overweight, but you can't fight for the actual belt being 0.2 pounds overweight. So I don't really understand that logic. How can you build yourself up? You can fight every fight all the way to the title fight being a pound overweight, and it's fine. But once you fight for the actual belt, you have to be exact on weight, not even 0.1 of a pound over. I don't understand that. Like you said, if they're going to do it, you should have to make weight exactly on weight for every fight, whether it's for the belt or not.
And making weight is part of being a professional, man. You have to take your craft seriously. And, you know, I was listening to the weigh-in show, and I think Kenny Florian said, you make weight, go fight. No, he said you train, make weight, go fight. That's the way it's supposed to be. Train, make weight, go fight. So, man, I'm just so disappointed that they stopped him from making they stopped him within an hour of him losing the weight when he supposed to have two. And you could tell at the weigh-ins that he was real dejected about it, but at the same time, it's his own doing. I think that Whitaker, he looked very upset that Yoel didn't make weight. Bobby hasn't fought in a while. So, man, I'm definitely looking towards to seeing Bobby Knuckles in the octagon tonight. Definitely looking towards it. That guy has definitely come out of nowhere to become a star. He's everything that I'm looking for as far as new blood, you know, representing the UFC. In that weight division, man, because Gastelum just beat Jacare, so Gastelum might get a title shot. Man, I can't even believe I just said that. Kevin Gastelum might get a title shot against the winner of tonight's fight. Well, if it's Bobby Whitaker, Bobby keeps the belt. So, but, man, that could be an awesome fight, man, because Gastelum got hands, too. Hello? Hello? Yo, Keys. But, this fight tonight, man, I looked at that whole card. I would have paid money to go to this card because the fights they have on this card is actually stacked. And the only thing I'm disappointed about is my boy Bobby Green out fighting Clay Guida. I was definitely looking forward to seeing my man Bobby Green fight, but he got hurt, so he's not fighting tonight. So, man, I'm kind of hurt by that. But,
yo, what's
another
up?
Thing
you
about
can?
UFC, I can hear you, bro.
Yeah, my bad. I got a call, and then I had to pick up a call, and then call it back, and I was just in the waiting queue, but I bet.
Yeah, I got you. But I was talking about, you know, that Kevin Gastelum is in line to fight the winner of this Yoel Romero versus Bobby Knuckles fight tonight. So I hope Robert Whitaker he can't lose the belt, but I hope he wins tonight. So that, you know, both of them be coming off of wins, big wins. So it'll probably be Kevin Gastelum versus Robert Whitaker for the belt probably later on this year if Whitaker wins.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't win, it's not like he's losing his belt.
Yeah, exactly.
And Dana White said that they asked him, what if Yoel Romero wins? And he said, if he wins tonight, I think the best move for him would be to move up to light heavyweight and fight the number one contender.
Yep, 205.
And then fight for the belt. That's what Dana White said. So, and he even mentioned Gustafson. He mentioned Yoel fighting Gustafson. So,
yeah, because I think Rockhold supposed to be moving up to 205 too. So we'll see what happens. But my prediction is Whitaker wins tonight. He takes Yoel Romero to the championship rounds, and he probably gets a unanimous decision, if not knock him out in the fifth. So I got Whitaker tonight, man. I got Whitaker big tonight. But just when I say that, Yoel Romero will probably do something crazy and shock the world like he did against Rockhold, but I'm sticking with Whitaker to win.
Yeah, I have Yoel on all my lineups. have big faith in my boy Yoel. And the Cubans have traveled here to fight for the title.
Out.
They have come out. Here. What happened?
No, Keys. No, man. Hold up. Hold up, man. You've been driving the Robert Whittaker bandwagon for the last year. And you taking Yoel Romero to beat him?
Well, I think the difference
I need an explanation.
In this fight, the difference maker in this fight is that Yoel's been relying more on his striking lately. And in their first fight, he kept trying to get takedowns, and he was trying to wrestle Whittaker. And I think that's where Whittaker, stuff and takedowns and stuff like that, won a lot of points. I mean, plus his striking, but I think the difference maker in this fight is going to be that Yoel's not going to – Whittaker said that, like, a little bit into the – he said something, I don't know, maybe like in second or third round. I forget what he actually said, but he was like, you know, by round three, Yoel is going to become a wrestler again. So basically saying that once he realizes that he can't stand and bang with me, he's going to start trying to take me down. He's going to have to resort to that as a last-ditch effort. I mean, that's not word for word, but that's what I understood from what he was trying to say. I think the difference maker is that Whittaker is very talented, and maybe he does win, but I'm taking Romero because, like I said, tonight I'm all about the underdogs, and Romero's the underdog. And I do think that it's going to be a different fight when Romero – just stand and bang.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just got Whittaker winning, man. I think Romero, I think he's going to come in a little dejected about not making weight. And I think that's gonna rear his ugly head during the fight. And I think Whittaker will take advantage of that. And beat him again.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
Yeah, I thought about taking Whittaker on like one or two of my lineups just to mix it up. I probably should have did that. I actually might have did that. I really don't remember. If I did take him, I probably took Whittaker on like two contests out of the eight. Same way that I probably took Dos Anjos on two of the eight. Covington is also an underdog. Mm-hmm. I might have said that earlier. I'm all about the underdog wins tonight. I'm telling you, there's going to be at least a handful of underdog wins tonight. At least two or three big underdog wins tonight. That's my overall prediction for the card, not regardless of who it is.
But actually, I think you're on to something, though, Keys, because I think the last couple cards has been at least three underdogs win they fight. So, yeah, man, you might be on the song with that one. I mean, I never really looked at it like that. But now that I think about it, when I was watching on the post-fight show, I think three underdogs won in the Liverpool call, in the Liverpool card. So, And was Morris an underdog to Rivera?
I'm not sure.
No, that fight was a pick'em. At first, it started off with Rivera being he was the favorite, and then by time fight night, it was a pick'em fight. So yeah, but I think a lot of the underdogs have been winning here lately. But I just can't see you going. I mean, man, you just did a 180 on me, man, because you've been driving that Bobby Knuckles on. Hype train, man, and man, you put it in park and went and joined a new company. Man, you shocked me.
Yeah, a lot happens. You haven't been on the show in so long that you know times have changed.
I see.
maybe it's Whittaker's lack of See, here's my issue with this. I don't believe that Whittaker is the real champion. I don't believe that the division even has a real champion. And the reason I say that is because GSP is the one who beat the champion. And I believe you have to beat the actual champion to be the champion. And Whitaker did not beat the real champion. He beat Romero, who was also not the champion. And now he's the champion. So, to me, he's not the real champion.
But, though, I mean, I see what you're saying. And, really, I can't argue that point as much as I would love to. But he did beat the three top guys, didn't he? Then Robert Whittaker beat the three top guys. He beat Jacare. He beat Yoel. And then I think he beat Derek Brunson. So he beat the top three guys. It ain't his fault that GSP came in, beat Bisping, then decided to get a belt up because he wanted to fight GSP. I just don't think GSP wanted them hands. Just like he didn't want what's the guy? Big Red. He didn't want his hands no more. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I see where you're coming from. He didn't beat the real champ. He wasn't in an interim belt fight. So, okay, I get it.
It just irks me. Like, he is a champion. Like, he's a championship-level fighter. It just irks me that he never actually beat the champion. And in any division, it bothers me if you haven't beaten the actual champion, but then you are somehow the champion. It takes away legitimacy from the belt. It would be like, you know, the next best thing to that would be like if Dos Anjos and Kobe would have fight tonight, and then the winner, you know, has the interim belt, and then T-Wood comes out the woodwork, and he's like, I'm moving up to middleweight, and then he relinquishes the belt. So then the interim of that is now the champion. They would not be the champion to me because they never actually beat the champion. I get how you're the placeholder for the champion, but you never beat the champion. So to me, there's no legitimacy to that. It's even to the point I almost don't even want to watch the main event tonight because it's not a title fight. So neither one of them is beating the champion because it's not a title fight. If Whitaker is the champion, he's not defending his championship because it's not a title fight. So even if Romero would have beaten
him, isn't.
He didn't technically beat the champion because if he beat the champion, he would have had the belt. But to me, a UFC fight in 2018 that is a non-title fight is complete bogus. They should have just scrapped the fight and just made RDA and Kobe the main event. That's how I truly feel. There's no point of us even watching this fight. It doesn't do anything. Why is there a non-title fight in the UFC in 2018? It's just beyond me.
This kind of looks like Bellator with
these main events.
Yep, I'm with you, man, because I didn't think about it until you just brought it up. But I think they should swap. I think the RDA Cubby Covington fight should be the main event. Move the Whitaker Romero fight down to the co-main, and that's the way it should go.
Or they could have even moved Whitaker and Romero and say, how about y'all just come back in a month, Romero, shred that 1 pound and make weight, and then y'all can fight for the real belt in July at 226. And we'll have three title fights. And that's supposed to be – that's International Fight Week. Why not have three title fights?
Yo, man, we got a call in the queue, man.
Well, yeah, jump them in. I can't see because I'm not on my computer.
Hold on. Hey, what's going on, Carla? How you doing today?
Afternoon, fellas. This is Lou from Jersey.
Oh, what's going on, bro?
All right, man. So what's on your mind?
Well,
Luke from Jersey?
Yeah. For one thing, I mean, the finals, you know, were a big disappointment to me. I mean, here I am thinking that, you know, that it's going to be a 7-game series, and at least Cleveland would put up a fight, but they didn't do a thing. They didn't do a thing at all. They just looked completely flat.
Well, buddy, I think when you look at the two teams on paper, if you take Durant and LeBron and you just say they're going to even each other out, then you take the rest of Cleveland against the rest of the Golden State squad, Cleveland never had a chance. Especially with them losing game one the way they lost game one, there was no way they was going to win that series. Even if they won game one, I think they would have lost in six or they would have lost in five. I think one thing about Golden State is they have been lucky over this little run because of Chris Paul getting hurt. That really did stunt what Houston could do against them. And it once again put the spotlight on James Harden. And as in past years, he shrunk under the bright lights. And
next year,
my man Keys, my co-host, he's from Boston. I think the Boston squad is the squad to look at next year as far as going to the finals and playing whoever comes out the West. As long as they keep playing defense the way they played this year. And I told my man Keys, I would have rather seen Boston play Golden State than Cleveland because I know at least Boston is going to play defense. Boston was going to make it uncomfortable for Golden State when Boston may not have been able to score as much, but I think they would have held Golden State down a little bit too, even though Golden State would have been the better team.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we would have put up more of a fight. I mean, the other thing that I was thinking of at the same time is, like, you know, earlier today I was like, wow, look at the Houston Rockets-Warriors series. They, you know, they lost in Game 7 at home, but they actually, you know, held them out until Game 7. And a lot of people say if it had been for Chris Paul, you know, maybe – I mean, the whole team had a bad night. So even if he was out there, maybe, you know, it wouldn't have changed anything. But maybe it would, because when you have Chris Paul and Harden out there, I mean, they're a different team. They were a force this season. And clearly they did something right that Cleveland wasn't able to do, because they lasted a seven games. Cleveland only lost four games.
Right.
I think the thing with Houston, though, is when you watch Mike D'Antoni teams play, they either it's threes or layups or foul shots. Houston needs a player that can make mid-range shots. So I would challenge James Harden to get a mid-range shot and to also get a right hand. If you notice that when you take his left hand away, he never drives right. He never drives to the right. It's always to the left. So if I was going to coach him up, I would have him develop a mid-range game and also have him work on his right hand. Houston, they need to figure out what they're going to do with Trevor Ariza, Gerald Green, Clint Capella, because you're not going to be able to keep all them guys if you bring LeBron in. So Houston has some moves to make. This finals wasn't great. I think the fans are tired of seeing the same two teams make it to the finals, and especially when you already know the outcome. We knew the outcome.
Well, you gotta
six
if you
want
to get to where you are, you gotta beat the best first.
I know
that's
true. That's
right.
That's true. So, are you a UFC fan also?
Not really. I don't really follow it that much, but I am familiar with it. I am familiar, of course, with McGregor. My nephew is more into that.
Okay.
He's only 14, though.
Yeah, because we was just talking about the UFC fight tonight, and, me and my man, we have a little bit of angst with the UFC right now. But we're definitely looking forward to the card tonight. But I wish the finals – I'm kind of glad basketball is off because the playoffs, when Boston lost to Cleveland and Houston lost to Golden State, I kind of sort of already knew what the outcome was going to be. And I would have rather seen Boston in there instead of Cleveland.
I had them
That's just me. Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
So do you think So what do you think LeBron goes is Nick in free agency? You think he stays in Cleveland? Do you
think he goes somewhere else? He's staying, but he's got to make it with mine before the end of this month.
Man, you the first person I heard say he's staying.
He's staying. I'm not buying
Wow.
You can call me crazy all you want, but he's staying. I don't see him doing it, you know, especially now with the later stage of his career and everything. I think he just wants to finish it out, you know, where he's, you know, made the team, you know, what it is now. Because without Cleveland, that team is going to be back in the cellar.
Man, he's staying. Man, you definitely, man, you on fire right now. Popular opinion is that he's definitely going.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay,
what he's saying.
Go, where do you think he's going to go to?
I'll let Keys answer that. Keys, where do you think he's going if he leaves?
Well, I said the two best options. I mean, people are saying the L.A. Lakers, but that's a far shot. And the Lakers aren't a good team right now, so I don't know why he would go there. But in Philly, I think, needs more years. I don't think LeBron going over there and playing with those guys is going to make them a championship contender at all. They're way too young. And what's his name is overrated. Their rookie, Ben Simmons, is an overrated player. He looked awful versus us.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying that because it was us. He looked awful, period. He Joel Embiid was the only reason that they were even in the game. Or whatever, you know, would we beat them in five? That one game, or in every game, Joel Embiid was the factor for the Sixers in the playoffs. They just didn't look the same anymore once they came down to playing. You know, Lee made a good point. Lee, you made a good point about this on one of our last shows when we talked about the Sixers, because you said how, you know, it's different when you have to play the same team, you know, seven games in a row. You play the same top contender over and over and over versus playing, you know, the Orlando Magic and then playing, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks and then playing the Miami Heat the next night. If you win three straight games there, it's a lot different than playing, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, winning three straight games there. But, yeah, I think either the Houston Rockets or the Celtics would be the two best options if he is to leave Cleveland.
And the point I was making that Keith was talking about is teams can key on you a little different in the playoffs than in the regular season because your game really don't change. And if you look at Ben Simmons, he can't shoot. He can't shoot. And then LeBron likes to have shooters around him. But at the same time, LeBron, according to reports, is that he wants to play off the ball and is on his next team. He wants to be a guy that cuts and slashes and pull-up shooter, spot-up shooter. So if that's the case, going to Philly wouldn't be a bad idea because Ben Simmons will work with the ball in his hand. Harden and Paul work with the ball in their hand in Houston. So we'll see what happens, man. I don't think he stays in Cleveland, though. And I definitely don't think he goes to my Lakers. We're not ready for LeBron, and we don't have a winning situation. So he definitely, if he go to L.A., it'll be for things outside of basketball. It won't be because of basketball.
We don't have a winning situation. That was a quote.
We
right
don't,
there.
Man.
That was a good quote. Hey, bro,
we
all got
to
admit
a winning situation.
You know? When our time comes, we all admit it. I mean, the Celtics had plenty of bad years.
That's right.
We all had plenty of bad years.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a realist, man. I've been a Lakers fan all my life, and man, these last couple of years, man, woo. It's been rough.
And I think I think y'all got excited when they got Alonzo, but then when they seen how he was
he's
doing,
not that good.
They probably got disappointed again.
He's not that good, man. And actually,
no.
When the Lakers took him, I thought Josh Jackson was a better player. And I just don't understand what they saw in Lonzo, man, because his shot doesn't work in the NBA. Then when his shot isn't working, he loses confidence. And you can see that in the way he shoots free throws. This guy shot 40% from the free throw line. He can't be a 40% free throw shooter as a guard. You can't do that, man. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Mm.
So, Luke, man, what made you call into the show, man?
Well, I was going through the list down below, and I saw your show on today, which is kind of unusual. Because usually you're on Sunday. So I thought, oh, these guys are on today? Why not? I can check in before I do my show.
Yeah. Actually, I've been moving, so I haven't been able to get on as much as I could. So we thought we decided to have a show at the last minute since UFC is tonight, and we were going to talk about the UFC.
I get it.
And here we go on a Saturday.
Yeah, just before I do my show.
And what's the name of your show?
The Enhanced Sports Show. It's going to start about 6 o'clock.
And what do you mainly talk about?
Any sport possible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we cover it all. Well,
all right.
Almost everything.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I start about 45 minutes. If you got time, I'll give you the number if you'd like.
Well, I'm still moving. I'm in the process of still setting my house up, so I can't make you any promises.
All
right. And then I think my man Keith, he's going out to watch the UFC tonight because the prelims come on, I think, about 6 o'clock. So we can report on that next week.
Yeah.
I appreciate
the call, man. Keep that in mind. What's the name of your show?
The Enhanced Sports Show.
All right. And that's on 6 o'clock on Saturdays at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
All right. And also, when you were saying that
you
were scrolling
Twitter?
Below.
I don't do Twitter. Facebook,
okay.
Yes. Twitter, uh-uh.
Go ahead, Keys. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. When you said you were scrolling below and you were looking at the – you saw a show there, where were you scrolling? Because I'll be trying to look out for other shows, but I don't know where this is.
It's on the homepage,
right,
Keys. It's on the Blog Talk homepage.
Oh, so it's just – okay, so they have the shows that are live at that time that you're looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, I just
wanted
to see if my show is posted up there, and then above it was you.
Oh, all right, cool. No, I never noticed that before.
No, I pay it, just if anything comes up before my show, I can give it a shot before I sign on. So I thought I'd take a shot.
Yeah, we
appreciate
your call,
bro.
Yeah, I got a lot to cover on my show tonight.
And then I'll return the favor probably next weekend,
right.
And I'll call your show.
All right, it'd be great.
Yeah,
be careful,
I'm sure.
We got to support each other, man.
I'm sure he's gonna want to. I'm sure tonight's show he's gonna want to talk about the Vegas Knights getting bounced from the Stanley Cup. I'm sure he's gonna want to talk about that.
I'm not surprised, and that will be covered. Yes.
Yeah, you know it's funny because
I am
I was
a little surprised.
Yeah, well, because I don't know if I don't know if I said this on our show, but I have a coworker that he's big into hockey and stuff like that, and I think he's called in before and talked with you about hockey, and I kind of just, stepped back because I don't really know too much about it to speak on it, but he had called up, and I said to him a few times that I was like, really, man, I don't know much about NHL, but I do hope that somebody beats that Vegas team because, I mean, yeah, they're having too good of a first season, and I don't really want to see them win the Stanley Cup just yet. They gotta, put that some work in, put some years in before they can. I mean, especially like look at, you know, the Capitals have never had. You know, this is their first, if I'm not mistaken, their first Stanley Cup ever, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
First year.
And this is Ovechkin's first Stanley Cup ever too, right?
It's about time.
Yep.
So I mean, he's a veteran player. So
the only reason I thought Vegas will have a chance of winning is because I thought Washington would actually fold against Tampa Bay because they finally got over the Pittsburgh hump, because they haven't been able to beat Pittsburgh in forever. So I thought maybe that emotional hump of beating Pittsburgh would lead to a letdown against Tampa. But then they went to Tampa and won the first two games. And then they come home and lose two games to Tampa. So, but once they get to the Stanley Cup, I think Vegas won the first game. And then you can just see, I think towards the end of the first game, that Ovechkin, he was a different guy starting in the end of that first game for the rest of the series. So, congratulations to him being the MVP and finally winning the Stanley Cup and the Conn Smythe Trophy. So, I think it's long overdue. And now you can look at him as like one of the all-time greats, even though he was a great player. But in hockey, you can't be considered a great player and not win the Stanley Cup. And that's what happened with Mark Messier when he was playing with the Rangers. A lot of people knew he was a great player, but
until he won
the Stanley Cup. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but most of them was with Gretzky, though, right, up in Edmonton, right?
Right. He won four with Gretzky, one without it, and one with the Rangers. So he has six.
Yeah.
Because the last one they won was
in
Edmonton.
New York. Yeah, but I think him
Gretzky
winning New York definitely cemented his legacy, though.
Exactly. Especially Game 6 of the conference finals.
Yeah. And I always liked Messier. I mean, Gretzky is my favorite player, but I always liked Messier. I always liked Luke Robitaille. I like the guy that left Boston and went to Colorado.
Yeah.
Ray Bourque, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Ray
Bourque was good.
Ray Bourque was a beast, man. And, you know, he just had to leave Boston, man. Boston was never going to win the Stanley Cup. They never even got close,
I don't
think.
It took him a long time to get his first and only cup as well. He was in the league 21 years, and he got his only cup just before he retired. And it was against the Devils, too.
Yeah, because that was a big rivalry then. Whoever Jersey played for the Stanley Cup was always like a big. It was always hyped up because New Jersey was always so good back then. But now New Jersey can barely be seen on the map as far as hockey.
Yeah. They won three cups in nine years, and. But they haven't done anything, you know, since 2003.
Yeah, it's bad when a story franchise falls on times like that, where you know they go from the top of the mountain, and it wasn't even a steady fall. It was like you drop a rock off a building.
Yeah.
But all right, man. I'm gonna give your show a listen to probably next Saturday. I'll call in and rap with you. We got about 10 minutes to go. We gotta go ahead and do our last little closing things. And thanks for the call. And I will be calling your show next Saturday.
Okay, let me give you the number though first before you do. It's 929-477-3688.
Okay. I don't have nothing to write with, but it'll be on the recording. So when we listen to the show again, I'll write it down, man. But I'll definitely give you a call next Saturday.
Thanks. All right, John.
All right, brother.
Man. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate you.
Have a great evening. All right, Keys, man, we got 10 minutes, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Kanye's album. Not the album with Kid Cudi, the solo album, because I don't think that we've talked about that because you haven't been on since it released. So I was going to ask you about that, but I don't think that 10 minutes is really – I'd rather just have a close out the show and start on that thing because I'd rather start that fresh with, like, more time. I mean, I like the album.
Yeah,
man. I'll let you get thoughts off on that.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. But, yeah, our next show, what we'll do is we'll talk about his album. And I did watch the This Is America video. We'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. You finally watched it. Good.
Yeah. We got a lot to talk about, man, as far as outside of sports. You know, so, hopefully we jump on either Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll talk. Because, I'll get Kanye a listen probably tomorrow because I know it's only like 7 tracks. And then we can talk about the Pusha T and Drake beef too.
Yeah, the Kanye thing is it's only 7 tracks, so you can listen to that. And if you set 20 minutes aside, you can listen to the whole thing. So that's what's good about that. It's a good size album.
Okay. I'll give it a listen. You know, I like to do my homework, so I'll be ready.
Yeah, no, I look forward to that. Other than that, there's everything that's on my mind, we pretty much discussed it. So, I mean, if you want to take it home, then go ahead.
All right, people, you know, me, this Lee and Keys, you know, coming back at you on a Saturday on fight night. Talking about UFC 225 in Chicago, Robert Whittaker and Yoel Romero. I took Whittaker. He took Romero. He's taking Covington. I'm taking RDA. He's taking Megan Anderson. I'm taking Holly Holm.
I took CM Punk. I took CM Punk, and he's taking Mike Jackson.
Yeah, so we definitely going opposite each other. Tonight, so somebody really gonna be hurting and somebody really gonna be smiling. Come on,
yeah,
our next show.
The only fight that we have the same is Tuivasa and Arlovski, which I think is on the main card. We both got Tuivasa.
Yeah,
I know
he's
gonna win that.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we both got Blaze over Overeem, and I think we both got Benavidez over Pettis, and I think we both got Gedalia over Esparza. Yeah, and I don't even think we talked about the Rashad fight, but we didn't make any predictions on that fight. But, you know, it's been good getting back on the air, talking with my man Keys. It's been good being on the air, talking to you guys out there. Thanks for supporting our show. It's summertime. We told you we'll give you more shows, and we're going to keep our word on that. And like I said at the beginning, I want to send a shout-out to my man Rod for holding it down. For me, you know, while I was moving and, you know, filling in for me. Like I told my man Keys, I ain't want him getting too comfortable in that being a co-host, you know. But I really appreciate him stepping in for us. To my man Keys, once again, you know, for doing his thing while I was unable to. Our show, we're just going to get bigger and better. And thank you for listening. And Keys, take us home, bro.
Yeah, also, you know, shout out to Rodney. You know, he's been on here the past couple of weeks. And, you know, they know anybody who's listening to our show more than once has probably heard Rodney on here more than once. I mean, he's almost like a solidified part of the show anyways. So, but he's got his own show too, and that's what I wanted to mention. So, you know, he's on YouTube, and he's got another friend or relative or something that he does a show with. You know, they go live. That show is on video. You know, they're in a studio sitting down, so that's cool. And that's on YouTube. It's called Stuff Talk Session. Go check out Stuff Talk Session on YouTube. That's my boy Rodney's show. So I think he said it was on Thursdays at 2 o'clock. I want to say Thursdays at 2 o'clock that it is. Every Thursday, 2 o'clock, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, go check out that. If not, and if it's not, doesn't air at that time, I'm sure you can go play the episodes back on YouTube. And, yeah, definitely go do that and keep supporting because you know, we always got more content coming. And also, I think I wanted to say this before, it's completely ironic that we just happened to, you know, Lee just happened to come back the next big UFC card. I mean, we come back the same night as a huge UFC card. And the show is like, we pretty much, you know, MMA is one of our biggest topics. I mean, UFC, one of our biggest topics. And we just happen to bounce back. You know, what a marketing move for us to just come back the same night as a huge UFC card. So I think that was Lee with his business strategies, you know, trying to decipher when was the best time, you know, make a calculated return for the show. And he thought, why not do it on a stacked card with like 14 fights? And that's tonight in Chicago. So shout out to UFC for a beautiful card and Lee for his excellent business strategies. Making a calculated return.
Oh man, go ahead. It wasn't planned, baby. It wasn't planned. But you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. But you know, me and my man Keith, we love talking about the UFC. And with this stacked card, you know, we just had to do it. You know, I took some time away from doing my little stuff in the house, and I just wanted to talk to the people, and I wanted to talk to you, bro. So yeah. It may have been a little calculated, maybe.
Yeah, he would probably never, you know, to everybody, he would probably never admit that. But we're just going to give him credit anyways, and just we're not going to try and debate it. We're just, you know, because we don't debate, we conversate. But we're going to conversate about that was the truth or not. But we know inside what happened, and it's all good. So just let that be. And there's winners and losers, and there's a reason for everything. So. I'm just gonna let that happen.
That's right.
This was a win. This was a win tonight, and look forward to more of those, you know, calculated approaches. You know, my man's always coming up with new ideas. So I'm eager to see what he thinks up next, because I'm sure there's some more genius in the making. It can only increase, you know, in positivity from him. And also, stay away from fried food because I've been cutting down on fried food, and I feel a lot better. So, cut out the MSG. Too much MSG. I mean, anything will kill you. Because if you really think about it, a lot of things are bad for you, but a lot of things that are good for you, too much of can also be bad for you. And really, ultimately, whether it's good for you or bad for you, it can still kill you. And even if it can't kill you, we're all going to die eventually anyways. So technically, it still is going to kill you. Doing everything perfectly right is still going to kill you eventually because you can't live forever. Nobody's immortal. So. But during your time here, you can try to do things. And that's why I was saying about the fried food is, you know, I used to eat a lot of fried food, and now I start cutting down, and I feel a lot better. Drink more water, and I get more exercise, and I feel pretty damn good. So, I mean, I don't think it takes any kind of Einstein to think about that, you know, diet plan and life, you know, cycle. I think, you know, many of us could have thought that through themselves, but I guess it just takes people to actually try it and see how it feels. Like my man Kanye on his new album, I think it's the intro track or second track, he has this part, and he says how you should just say what you feel. And he goes, people always say, don't say that. Don't say this. Nah, just say it. Just to see how it feels. That's what he said. And I was like, man, that was one of the truest things I ever heard. And that was beautiful. And I'm going to talk more about that in the next show. Because Kanye did a lot of interesting stuff on this album that I can't wait to get into. I'm going to wait for Lee to hear it. And we're going to discuss that later. But yeah, Kanye said it. Say what you feel and do what you think might be right and see how it feels. See, in the words of Kanye, see how it feels. Lee, you can take it home from here. I can't tell if the show ended because you got the computer, so.
So on that note, people, we're ending on a quote. Hey, but on that note, people, we're going to end with a Kanye quote. Say what you feel. Everybody have a good evening. Everybody be safe. Until next time, Leah Keys, we out. Peace.
Have a good night.